The first reading is from Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48, and is found on page 1105. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
The next reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. You can find it on page 1083 of the Church Bible. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Father, we ask that your word may come to us afresh and anew this day, that we may be empowered people living your will and purposes in the world. May my words accord with your word, and all our hearing be open and attentive to all that you would say. For Jesus' sake. Amen. So I have a manifesto proposal. The proposal is actually that the government should stop whatever it is they are working on. Whatever the plan is, stop doing it. Okay? And just pass one law. There's only one law. It's a radically different law, by the way. But if you do it, then we wouldn't have needed the election on Thursday last for police and fire commissioners or mayors or any other form of local government. We wouldn't have needed that, and we would save all a lot of money on the wheels of government machinations and all of that if they would pass this one law. Because if they did that, Parliament's work would be done. Everything would be just right. So are you ready? Everyone must love one another. Everyone must love everyone else. What a great law, isn't it? Should we write it in and that would be it? The problem is, of course, you can't legislate for love. You can't make it a law. You know that great famous book, 1984, there's the hero. And the law is that you must love the state. And the state is known as Big Brother. And this hero that we read about, he flourishes for a moment when he discovers the love of a woman. What a wonderful thing, the love of a woman. And he grows and life is full. And then because it's against the law to love anything else than the state, she disappears. And under the grinding oppression and the coercive manipulations of the state, he's eventually locked in room 101 for corrective treatment. And under the agony of that, at the end, he finds that he really does love Big Brother. He really does love Big Brother. And as a reader, you know that he has become less human. You can't make people love by law. But what apparently can't be legislated for can be commanded. And Jesus does it in verse 10. Keep my commands and you will remain in my love, he says. And in the middle he says, my command is this, to love each other as I have loved you. And right at the end in verse 17, we have an even clearer statement. This is my command, love each other. Well, you may say, what's the difference between a law and making it a command? And the answer is that Jesus is speaking at the Last Supper. And he's telling these disciples what the new society is going to be like when the Spirit fills them. We anticipate that on Sunday week, the day of Pentecost. What will that community of believers, those followers of Jesus, be like when the Spirit comes and they are a people chosen by him with his life flowing through them? You did not choose me, he says. I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. The disciples are to be fruitful in love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love, he says there in verse 9. Love, love, love. The Beatles had it right, didn't they? But it doesn't mean that emotional love, that kind of love that you get. We feel when we like someone a lot. He says, when he says, remain in my love, he's drawing a different landscape of love, a different view altogether. It's changed landscape. He wants his followers to live in such a new way, empowered, filled, inspired by Spirit love, defined by Spirit love. And so we learn a few things about love as he speaks about this command. Spirit love, firstly, comes from God. Well, might be an obvious statement. Let me put it another way. A bit more shockingly, you can't properly love unless you are filled with Spirit love from God. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. As the Father's loved me, so I love you. In other words, it comes from the Father to Jesus, from Jesus to the disciples, and they love each other in the love that comes from God. They're living out in the world what the Father has put in them. They are to be known in the world by the love God has poured into their hearts by his Holy Spirit, as Romans puts it. A love more powerful, more strong than any human being can muster. And so we know that we're dependent on God for the love that we have. We need Jesus to give us the love of the Father. And that's why our prayer and our worship, what we are doing in this building today, is so important, because prayer and worship is the way that we are opened up to receiving the love of God. We need it every day, just as the people we pray for need it every day. Our prayer and our worship and our song opens us up to the presence of God being poured into us. And we express that love then as we spend time together. We express love in our giving together. We express love in our commitment to our community and the care that we have for people in need. We express love in our homes, in the places of safety and nurture that they are. We look to Jesus to fill us with his love, that we may have love to give. And when we give the love that we have received, God pours in more love, an inexhaustible, never-ending love for us, remaining in his love. So love comes from God. Secondly, of course, if love comes from God, the love of God is in us, that love is obedient to the will of God. That kind of makes sense. He goes on, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. The language is something of a mystery that has to be experienced more than explained, perhaps. Love comes from obedience, and obedience comes from love. Out of love for the Father, Jesus did everything love can do. And out of doing everything in love for the Father, he knew the Father's love. See how cyclical that is. Out of love for the Father, Jesus did everything that love can do. And out of doing everything that love can do for the Father, he knew the Father's love. That's why Jesus can command his followers to love, because he's done everything he could do to love them. Now, I watch mothers in this place creating an environment of love for their children, so that the child is free to love them back in return. And we know what it's like when children have stepped out of the love of a parent. We know what it's like as children to have stepped out of love for the parent. When we do something that we shouldn't have done. And we know that that relationship between parent and child gets strained or even broken. But Jesus wants his disciples to avoid broken relationships. Remain in my love, he says, by keeping my command. Let your love for me desire what I desire. Desire forgiveness. Desire giving. Desire helping out. Desire looking out for the poor, for the vulnerable, feeding the hungry, being kind to your family, being honest and truthful. Desire paying a fair wage and a full price. Desire not dodging the tax man by paying cash to the builder. Or if you're the builder, desire not dodging the tax man by taking cash from the client. Give back what you have borrowed. Especially the vicar's theology books. Pay your debts. You get the point. Desiring the will of the Father. God's love, desiring God's will. So thirdly, because God is the God of joy, love, spirit love, gives rise to joy. I've told you this so that my joy may be complete in you and your joy may be complete, he says. See, the thing about joy is it's all about fulfillment, about being fully alive. And at the core of human existence is the need to be loved and to love in return. Joy for Jesus was found in his love for the Father and in his love for all God's people. Complete joy for Jesus was doing all of these things out of love for the Father and knowing his people doing all things out of love for God. The point is that Jesus did not come to diminish our lives, make them miserable. He came to make us more human than we could otherwise be. He came that we may have the fullness of life. He came that we may have freedom from joy, freedom of joy and joy from the drudgery of slavery. Love makes the lover and the beloved more truly human. And the thing about joy is that you can't get it directly. Stop seeking joy. You can't pursue it as an end in itself. It will always get away. It comes as a byproduct of something else. It comes when we give ourselves to loving others. That's why people talk about being surprised by joy. It creeps up unexpectedly when the attention is on someone else, something else. Joy comes when you're not looking for it. When you allow the love of Jesus to flow through you, there is joy. To be filled with the Spirit that moves you out from yourself to love another. So love comes from God. Love is obedient to God's will. Love gives rise to joy. Fourthly, love is sacrificial. He gives us a couple of those best known views, verses. Greater love has this. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Because, of course, that's what Jesus is doing on that evening. The next day he would die for his friends, laying down his very life. And then verse 12 tells us very powerfully, he's laying it down in love. Love each other, he says, as I have loved you. Lay down your life for your friends. Now, for years, I was a man with no friends. Not one. No friends at all. I didn't have any friends because I didn't do Facebook. Now I have 50 friends, one of which is my wife, and one of my daughters is another. Not the other one, no. In total, I have 112 friends. Oh, no, sorry, I have 50 friends and 112 friend requests, which I'm not going to click on. Most of the friends I have are people that I knew in the fire brigade when I was working there, and they're on the Essex Fire Brigade old timers page. I never talk to them. I never contribute to this Facebook page that I'm on, and I've never asked anyone to be a friend. No, I haven't. And I do wonder how many Facebook friends would remain my friends, or how many friends' requests would be withdrawn if they thought that being a friend meant laying down your life for your friend. Not many, perhaps. But actually, we are the people called to do just that, to share our lives together in sacrificial love. This is a place laid down in love. Jesus says, you're my friends if you do what I command. Well, there's plenty of people here who shows themselves to be people who are friends of Jesus. Not just friends of Jesus, which they are, but that Jesus is their friend too. I no longer call you servants, because a servant knows his master's business. And instead, he says, instead I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Well, we discerned the Father's business, and we're sitting in it now. And it's become what it's become because we followed the Father's business laid down in love. People have given themselves sacrificially to the beginning, to the building of this place, and not, of course, just this place, but the history of Meadgate Church going back through to 1963, when Bill used to take his bed apart so that the church could meet in their back bedroom in Doris's house. How sacrificial to take your bed apart so that the church could worship. And it's amazing what's happened here. We've asked the Father to bless what we've been doing, and it's been given. This is a stunning place. And there's a promise in verse 16. Remain in his love, and whatever you ask in my name, Jesus says, the Father will give you. Ask anything that's in accordance with the Father's will. I suppose a fifth little phrase would be, Spirit love is faithful love. The Father is faithful. The Father will give it, not because we're good enough, not because we deserve it, but because he loves to give good things for good purposes. And it's an amazing promise where we see his love poured out in the gifts he gives us. So pray. Pray until you find yourself filled and fueled by Spirit love that comes from God. It's a love that is obedient. It's a love that gives rise to joy. It's a love that is sacrificial. It's a love that's faithful in its answers. Pray the prayers that lead us to lay down our lives for our friend Jesus, because he calls us his friend. What an amazing thing to be called friend by Jesus. I am a frog, a friend of God. How I want to be a friend of Jesus if it means living in that love, love like he gives. Love each other, not a law that we can keep, but a command we can want to fulfill. And if we want to fulfill it, God will fulfill it in us. Because that's the way the will of God will continue to be done in our days, in us, and through us.